The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on July 27, 1994 in Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 16, Verse 22.
The personification of all religion. Therefore, you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings. By your grace, which is of pure goodness and is the bestower of all blessings, kindly drive away the elements of rajas and tamas for the sake of the demigods and the twice born. Purport. The Lord is addressed in this verse as Tri-Yuga, or one who appears in three millenniums, namely the Satwa, Dwarpar, and Treta Yugas. He is not mentioned as appearing in the fourth millennium or Kali Yuga. It is described in the Vedic literature that in Kali Yuga, he comes as Channa Avatara, or an incarnation, but he does not appear as a manifest incarnation. Sridhar Swami describes Tri Yuga as follows. Yuga means couple, and Tri means three. The Lord is manifested as three couples by his six opulences, or three couples of opulences. In that way he can be addressed as Tri Yuga. The Lord is the personality of religious principles. In three millenniums, religious principles are protected by three kinds of spiritual culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. The Lord is called Tri-Yuga in that way also. In the age of Kali, these three requisites to spiritual culture are almost absent. But the Lord is so kind that in spite of Kali-Yuga's being devoid of these three spiritual qualities, he comes and protects the people of this age in his covered incarnation as Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki
jai!
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai!
Lord Chaitanya is called covered because although he is Krishna himself, he presents himself as a devotee of Krishna, not directly Krishna. The devotees pray to Lord Chaitanya, therefore, to eliminate their stock of passion and ignorance, the most conspicuous assets of this age, Yuga. In the Krishna consciousness movement, one cleanses himself of the modes of passion and ignorance by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
as introduced by Lord Chaitanya. The four Kumaras were cognizant of their situation in the modes of passion and ignorance, because although in Vaikuntha they wanted to curse devotees of the Lord, since they were conscious of their own weakness, they prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. The three transcendental qualifications, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, are the qualifications of the twice born and the devas. Those who are not situated in the quality of goodness cannot accept these three principles of spiritual culture. For the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, there are three sinful activities which are prohibited, namely illicit sex, intoxication, and eating food other than prasad offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. Devotees are merciful because they spare the poor animals, and they are clean because they are free of contamination from unwanted foodstuff and unwanted habits. Austerity is represented by restricted sex life.
These principles indicated by the prayers of the four Kumaras should be followed by the devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 22, chapter 16, canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
These prayers are being offered by the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras have entered into Vaikuntha planet. But they were stopped by the gatekeepers, Jaya and Vijaya. They cursed the gatekeepers. And to solve the problem, Lord Narayana, he personally came. Now they offer their obeisances to Narayana. They experience the transcendental ecstasy. And they're offering these prayers. So they have understood that the Lord is the personification of all religion. Religion is the embodiment of everything good. And how the Lord comes down into this universe to protect all living entities. The obstacle for religion is ignorance and passion. So they are praying to be free from the ignorance and the passion. The Srila Prabhupada explains here how the Lord is known as Tri Yuga. The Lord has scheduled incarnations in the three yugas of Satya, Dwarapara and Treta. He is openly coming as the Supreme Lord. But in Kali Yuga, the Lord does not openly declare himself. If he comes in a disguised manner. So if anybody is declaring himself to be God openly in this age, then it means that he could not be God. Because Lord does not openly declare himself to be the Lord in Kali Yuga. How can we recognize who an avatar is? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, he saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted in trance. And he went into samadhi. At that time there was no breathing and there was no heartbeat. So the head priest, the head pandit of the Puri, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu removed to his house. There, his brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that Lord Chaitanya was an avatar. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not believe. He considered he must be a Mahapurush, a Mahabhagavat, a very great devotee. He took some cotton and he found that there was a slight movement of cotton, so there was slight breathing, but it was imperceptible by any other means. They could not revive Lord Chaitanya until his devotees came and they chanted in his ear the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare
Krishna!
Hare
Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he did not want to easily accept anyone to be an avatar. It's explained that to recognize an avatar, there are three criteria. One is avatar should be predicted in the Veda, should be some schedule, just like all of a sudden, Indian Airlines does not come to Coimbatore and expect to get the passengers. They've got some schedule and they announce, I will come at such and such a time. Then they can get the passengers. So Lord is also coming according to some schedule. He announces that I will come at such and such a time. Then, what his qualities will be, those are also mentioned in the Vedas. That the symptoms will be like this. He will have this color, this physical feature, this type of activities, and so on. You'll have this mother and father, they'll be born in this place. So, all these details are given. Qualities are given. So the qualities should match up. There should be an avatar predicted. There should be qualities mentioned that should match up. Third thing, he should do something which no ordinary person can do. Something miraculous. Very often people can do some miraculous thing, or magical things or wonderful things, and then they claim that now they have become avatar. But that is not the sole criteria. In Vedas, there are always great yogis and mystics who can do wonderful things. But that doesn't mean that they have a claim to be avatar. They have the vibhuti or some shakti of the Lord through some yoga process. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he did not accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as avatar at that point. Later he decided to teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a young sannyasi the Vedanta Sutra. After 7 days of instructing Vedanta Sutra to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya didn't speak a word, didn't ask any question. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him, that why don't you have any question? Can't you understand what I'm speaking? He said, I understand the verses of Vedanta Sutra that you are speaking perfectly well, but your explanation, I don't understand anything. So then he said, you could understand the verse, I'm explaining the verse to make it easier. But you don't understand my explanation, only the verse. So that means that he's saying that he has better understanding than Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So then Lord Chaitanya started to explain what is Vedanta Sutra. Lord Chaitanya explained what is Vedanta Sutra and what is the Atmarama verse of the Bhagavatam. Atmaramas Chamunayo. So in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya started to realize after Lord Chaitanya was explaining the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways, that Lord Chaitanya had the qualities which were quite unnatural, superhuman, and that his qualifications were matching up with the prediction given in Vedas that Lord would come as a bhakta in a golden color. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya paid his obeisance to Lord Chaitanya and said that you actually must be the avatar of Krishna. Please reveal your form to me. The Lord Chaitanya revealed his six-handed form, the combination of Lord Ramchandra, Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carrying flute, bow and arrow, and kamandalu and danda. That deity is still visible at Jagannath Puri. What is the name of that place? In the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Lord Chaitanya said, don't tell anyone what you have seen while I am present, only after I leave. Because in this avatar, I am a bhakta, I don't want anyone to know that I am the Lord. So publicly, Lord Chaitanya would never allow anyone to address him as Krishna. For some rare devotees in private, he revealed his secret mission. But he came down to give us that rare gift which is ordinarily not available. According to the Vedas, there's four Purush Arthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. But then there's also a fifth Purush Artha mentioned. That fifth Purush Artha is called Prema, pure love for God. Beyond Moksha is Prema. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving out the Krishna Prema, which was very, very difficult to get. He was establishing what are the principles of religion and what are the sacrifices for the age. In this age, the sacrifice is to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
So today we're going to observe the Rath Yatra festival to take Jagannath, Baladeva and Subhadra on their chariot. And during this festival, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he divided his followers in various groups, and they would chant in front, behind, on the side of the chariot. So he would observe the Rath Yatra by chanting the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
So we recommend everyone to participate in today's Rath Yatra and also chant with us the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In every age there's a yajna. We must perform yajna, yajna artha karmano. Otherwise we'll simply be bound by the karmas. So in the three yugas, there was the different yajnas of meditation, fire sacrifice and puja and temples. But in this Kali Yuga, where all the principles of religion are reduced, it is recommended that we chant the Maha Mantra,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
How many of you are chanting every day? This is our universal mantra. Everyone can chant it. There's no need also to take diksha before chanting. One can chant without going through a reformatory process. This is why this is called the universal mantra. Of course, some devotees are also taking the initiation after they are thoroughly convinced about this process. We are inviting everyone to take advantage and chant the holy names. To get the blessing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We chant the names of Lord Chaitanya known as Panchatattva Mantra. Jaya Sri Krishna
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
The people who are in the mode of goodness, who have developed this quality, they are naturally attracted to religious principles. But people who are in the mode of tamas and rajas, generally they are not so much inclined. Lord Chaitanya made a wonderful festival of singing and dancing that even sometimes people in mode of passion, ignorance, they also participate. By participating in this process, they get purified from their rajas and tamas. Even drunkards have become freed from their alcoholism. Very lusty people have become cured of their passions. And people in the mode of goodness have become thoroughly refined and gone from impersonal reality to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, the chanting of Hare Krishna is so effective that it can change the consciousness. Other forms of dharma release one from some sins, but the tendency to do sin is not released. But when we chant the Maha Mantra, not only are we freed from sin, but we are also freed from the tendency to do bad karma. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So here in South India, maybe many people don't know the process. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here for 6 years, it was 500 years ago. Although Andal Halwar has also promoted this process, but still many people are not chanting the holy names in Sankirtana. So we are trying to popularize this process because it's most effective. People tend to follow whatever other people are doing. Like the story about the Brahmana. Whatever the Brahmana was, the Brahmana one time he used to go every day to bathe in the Ganges, and he would carry his puja tray. He'd go and take his bath. When he came out, all other Brahmanas had also similar puja tray, same kind of deepa, dupa, phool, puspa. So he was feeling difficult every time how to pick out which was his. So next day when he went to the Ganga, he put one little mud ball of Ganga Mati on his plate and took his bath. When he came out, he saw that there were so many plates of puja articles. Every plate had a small ball of Ganga Mati. So why did they put the Ganges mud? He put the Ganges mud because he wanted his plate to be different from all the others. Obviously, they didn't know his purpose. They were blindly following him. Someone was saying, oh, he's putting Ganga Mati. Maybe this is a rule. So out of a doubt, they all put Ganga Mati on the plate. If they had known what his purpose was, then someone would have put a branch, someone else would have put a little stone, or a leaf, something different. But they all blindly follow. So this blindly following is very much a tendency in society. The people kind of blindly follow. And they don't think why they should do those things. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended we should know Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In Vedas, there's no restriction to reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. Everyone can read that. It's recommended for all. Men, women, young, old, they all can read Vija or whatever. in these shastras of Krishna's teachings, it gives us a clear idea what is the purpose of life. Very clear understanding. There we can understand that by chanting the Maha Mantra we can achieve all success. By chanting, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama!
So initially, that may mean that someone is not blindly following what others are doing. Lord Chaitanya said, you understand the philosophy, understand the Siddhanta, and then you do. Some they think, no, but everyone else is not doing, how can I do? Well, we can do because we know this is better for us. So those who are more intelligent, who are guided by their reason and intelligence, they take to the Krishna conscious movement, especially at this initial stage, because they understand that it's the best thing for them. In some countries, the preaching was not even represented as a religion in the beginning, but was just told to people that it's a kind of a yoga, or meditation, or a cultural event, and everyone should chant. Because people in the mode of passion and ignorance, if they hear religion, they think, no, no, I don't want to. Religion means restriction. So sometimes Prabhupada would just tell you, just sing and dance, and feast on prasad. What is the problem? So people, they do that. But if we had told them, this is a religion, then they may say, no, no, I don't want religion. Because it's the nature of tamas and rajas. But then by chanting Hare Krishna, they get purified, and in this way they could adopt all of the religious principles naturally. This is like the story about the cranes and the swan. Cranes are standing in the one lake in Bengal, they have the tink. So they were in a tink, and one swan had flown from the Himalayas. So when the crane saw the swan, they said, what is wrong with that bird? The swan had the bent neck. They said, he has got a deformed neck. He's not beautiful like we cranes. We have nice straight neck. So then they asked the bird, where are you from? What kind of bird are you? He said, I'm a Raja Hamsa. I'm a swan. I come from Manasarovar, which is in the Himalayas. They said, what is the Manasarovar like? The cranes asked. It's a beautiful place. There's in the Himalaya mountains all around. You'll find so many beautiful mountains, the cool waters, beautiful lotus flowers are blossoming there, all nice clear water, and birds like me. Then the crane said, one crane asked, is there any snails there? Samuk. Any snail that sucks on the dirt in the bottom of the tank? He said, no, there we don't find this type of snail. Right? What a useless place. If there's no snail, we don't want such a place. We won't go there. Because the cranes, they like to eat the snails. So for them, Manasarovar is a worthless place. So just like there are different kinds of birds, there are different kinds of consciousness in human beings. The difference is the bird does not change the consciousness. Swan remains swan, crane remains crane. But a human being can change their consciousness. But on the initial, those who are in mode of tamas and rajas, they hear, oh, you're having a big festival. Are there any drinks there? Only sherbat and charnamrit. No whiskey. No alcohol. Oh, then we don't want that place. We don't want that function. They think that only these tamasic things, they can give happiness. But people have so much enjoyment in serving Krishna and Rath Yatra. But there's nothing tamasic and nothing rajasic. Everything is through the sattvic. But those people who are in the mode of ignorance and passion, they will, if they hear about this, they may think, oh, I cannot be happy there. But somehow or another, if they can participate, then they'll find that there is happiness. And that is the real happiness everyone is looking for. So this Krishna conscious movement is to eradicate the tamas and rajas in the people, and to preserve the pure goodness. Of course, in our own habits, we should avoid rajasic and tamasic habits. Our diet, our activities should be purified. To get the strength for achieving that goal, it is prescribed we should chant the Maha Mantra, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
after chanting the Panchatattva mantra, Jai Sri Krishna. Questions? Buddha is also a covered avatar. He never declared himself to be Bhagavan.
Well, when Kalki comes,
that starts Satya Yuga. So he's kind of a borderline. He doesn't preach also. He's not preaching. He doesn't declare, he doesn't need to declare who he is. He's just coming for chopping. So meeting Kalki is no use. If you meet Kalki, you'll get chopped anyway. Few devotees will be there, of course they'll be spared. But if anyone's still around at that time, they are said to be like worse than animals. Human beings are cannibals and all horrible things are going on. They become so short, only live 30 years. So when Kalki is there, he's no preaching, just elimination. You know, like sometimes your house is dirty, you try to clean, you arrange, your room is dirty. Then sometimes you want to do maha cleanup. You just take everything out and put back. So Kalki, when he comes, it's maha cleanup. After that, Satya Yuga. Few sattvic people are hiding in caves. Then few rishis are in Himalayas. They come down and repopulate the world. It becomes a Satya Yuga again. So, Kalki, there's no, you don't have to recognize him. Any other question? Maharaji? Prasada?
As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarabha Bhattacharya to drop them to everybody the glory to him, like the Supreme Personality. We have the same instruction, we don't need to tell, we should not tell to everybody that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, only
that was while Lord Chaitanya was present. Because when he was present, if everyone is saying he's God, it will disturb his pastime. Because he's come as a bhakta. It's like if Prime Minister of India wants to come in disguise and watch what the people are doing. Or previously, some kings would go dressed like ordinary dress and mix amongst the people to hear what they're speaking. But if somebody says, there's the king, look at the king, the king. Da 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 da! The king! Maharaja! Then, you know, his whole purpose is defeated, no? He wants to go in hidden way. In Vedas, it's prescribed that sometime the monarch, he should go amongst the people in disguise, like an ordinary person. So no one knows what the king looks like, really, because when is ordinary way. Because when they see him, he's always got some big crown and so many things. So if he's just covered in ordinary way with head covered or something, he's not easily recognizable. So like that, Lord Chaitanya is coming as bhakta. Everybody's saying, there's God, there's God. Then how he can do his bhakti? He's Lord as bhakta. But some individuals he revealed. But general way, he didn't allow anyone to address him as Bhagavan. If someone said he's Vishnu, he would go, Vishnu, Vishnu, don't say this. I am only bhakta. But now there's no such restriction. Because now it's not interfering with his pastime. Now it's more important people should know, because they can take more seriously his instructions. Any question? Yes?
Vishnu Maharaj was living in a big palace. So why he was depending upon him? Thank you for it.
Yudhishthira Maharaj was living in a palace.
Big palace. So why was depending on his nephew?
His nephew. Who's his nephew? Krishna. I think you're talking about Dhritarashtra.
Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Why he's depending on anyone? He's the Maharaj.
That is, he was depending on everything. He was living in his palace.
I don't understand your question.
Yudhishthira Maharaj built a big palace for himself.
Yeah. What nephew? What nephew? He's not depending on a nephew. Dhritarashtra was depending on Yudhishthira, who's his nephew. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Yudhishthira became emperor, and Dhritarashtra was depending on Yudhishthira, who was his nephew. That's mentioned in the first canto of Bhagavad. But then Vidura told Dhritarashtra to leave and go and do yoga meditation and achieve moksha. But I don't know if Yudhishthira is depending on his nephew. There's no nephew left. All nephews were killed. Only one nephew is a little baby Parikshit. And definitely Yudhishthira was not depending on him.
So I don't, your question is convoluted. You got some data mixed up. Now we have to go because it's going to be early lunch, early breakfast. So now we shall end here. Prabhupada, please give blessing and all the devotees for saying Hare Krishna.